Tata Lugnina Sutra.
Third day is usually the dreaded third day, like the dread Pirate Roberts. But I don't think it worked that way this time. You know, I said to the people, I think the first day was that day. Margaret used to describe it as a day where you feel like you're wading through molasses. You know, everybody's tired, they're stuck on their koans. Energy is low, you know, just kind of, it's a long day. But I think we got that out of the way early this time. I don't know about other people, but the energy's felt very good. The sitting is strong. I think somebody did pass a koan. Was it you, any of your people that passed a koan today, Peter? Okay. So, as Peter correctly pointed out earlier in the week, during Sesshin the tradition is to give talks based on koans from the Mumonkan. And earlier in the week I gave a talk that wasn't based on a koan at all. And this koan is based, this talk is based on a koan from the Blue Cliff Record. I don't know what it says about me. If lightning strikes me during this talk, you will know. Oh, there it is. Sorry, canceling the talk. Okay. A monk asked young men, what is the talk that goes beyond Buddhas and patriarchs? Men said, cake. A Dharma talk is like jazz. Just like a jazz piece, it usually starts with a well-known theme. In Zen, that theme is usually taken from a koan, a verse, a sutra, or some other bit of traditional Buddhist, Chan, or Zen writing. Then the improvisation begins. The teacher starts to riff on the theme. And just like in jazz, the derivation of these transformations is not logical. It is lyrical and expressive, trying to touch us in an aesthetic and deeply evocative ways. Daito Roshi used to say that his talks were opaque to the intellect, but meant to be comprehended by another level of consciousness. Daito's talks were extraordinary works, both of literature and scholarship. As I listened, I often found that I could follow what he was saying, at least for a while. I would congratulate myself, thinking, I must be getting this Zen stuff. Then his improvisation would begin as he wove in Dogen Zenji's metaphorical imagery, and I would find myself completely lost once again. Frankly, if there was some part of my mind that understood what he was saying, I never recognized it. Furthermore, the very idea that I could get Zen, that I might somehow intellectually comprehend this intimate way of apprehending the universe, was absurd. On the other hand, I've generally aspired to keep my talks as comprehensible as possible. I'm inclined to think that elucidating the Dharma for beginners is one of the most important aspects of teaching. Which brings us to an important reason that Dharma teachers resort to a lyrical, improvisational style, the reality that the Dharma cannot really be expressed in words. Zen is one of the few religions that fully recognizes the inadequacy of language in describing ineffable spiritual truth, the nature of this great reality. Theistic religions often speak of God as if we can intellectually comprehend the magnificent ground of all being in this cosmos, and that we can have a discussion as if there were a common understanding of that experience. In Zen, we know very clearly that our own experience has primacy and that our words are at best faint shadows of the truth. In fact, as soon as we begin to talk about the Dharma, we are lying. That is as true for even the greatest teachers from the time of Shakyamuni Buddha to this very day. In fact, the Buddha himself encouraged us not to believe any teaching, even his, until we have verified it through our own experience. Because of the inadequacy of language, like poetry, Dharma talks often use imagery to evoke a sense of the experience we are trying to describe. However, when we speak in metaphors like those of blue mountains walking and stone women dancing in the night, while they are very beautiful and powerful images, we may not be understood by many in our intended audience. Given the conundrum that the shortfall of language presents, perhaps the main function that our talks can accomplish is to offer hope and inspiration. The path of Zen is long and can be arduous at times. When that happens, we can be tempted to fall away from practice. Those are the times when inspiration is needed. There can be times during a session when pain, fatigue, or some other unpleasant sensation gives rise to exactly this temptation. That is when teachers need to offer some inspiration and hope. While we cannot tell you exactly what realization is, we can remind you that you do have the capacity to see it for yourself. The Buddha's final teaching on his deathbed points right to the innate capacity that we all have. Atadipa viharatha, atasharana, anana sharana, dhamma dipa, dhamma sharana, anana sharana. And for those whose Pali is a little rusty, look within. You are the light itself. Rely on yourself. Do not rely on others. The Dharma is the light. Rely on the Dharma. Do not rely on anything other than the Dharma. Which brings me to what I really wanted to talk about tonight. A turtle. This turtle was a painted turtle, which does not refer to the magnificently colored wild species, but to the turtles whose shells were painted by humans and then sold to children at fairs and carnivals. Hopefully that does that happen anymore?
No, it's against the law.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay. Well, that's a good thing. So, however, this particular turtle belonged to Dido Luri's son. Feeling badly for the poor, degraded, and depressed turtle living in its tiny bowl, and wanting to teach his son about compassion, Dido persuaded him to release the turtle into the wild. They went to the stream and gently lowered it into the water. To Dido's amazement, the turtle immediately swam boldly into the middle of the stream, diving and frolicking in the current as if it had been there all of its life. It didn't require any instruction at how to be a turtle, even though it had never left the stifling confines of its bowl. Its fundamental turtle nature was always there, just waiting for a chance to express itself. We, on the other hand, constantly obscure our true nature by enmeshing ourselves in the constructs produced by our thoughts. We create our own little bowl and think that it is the great stream of the universe. When we begin Zen practice, we try to think and talk ourselves out of the bowl. But that only tightens it around us. Like the monk in this koan, we hope that there are some words that can liberate us, but words cannot help. Oh, little turtles, don't wait for a special word or a phrase to liberate you. Jump right off the bank and come on out into the stream. The water is cold, inconceivably deep, and perfectly clear. And swimming is your nature. Okay, what I'm going to ask you all to do now is to close your eyes, please. And to put out your hand, one hand, put a hand out, and I'm going to come around and place something in your hand. And it's not a turtle, but one. No peeking. And also don't do anything with the thing in your hand yet. So, continue with our eyes closed. I'm going to reread the words of the koan. Please pay very careful attention.
What's that funny about that?
Paying attention to the koan, please. A monk asked Yun Men, "What is the talk that goes beyond Buddhas and patriarchs?" Men said, "Cookies." Okay, you may now, keeping your eyes closed, laugh and put the object in your mouth and eat it. So there you have it, the talk that goes beyond Buddhas and patriarchs, the Dharma expressed in peanut butter and chocolate.
Creations are numberless, I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless, I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable, I vow to embody it. Creations are numberless, I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. Creations are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to perceive it. The enlightened way is unsurpassable.